Hi, this is Jalen for Dobbs, where tire buying is easy. At GoToDobbs.com, shop brands, sizes, pricing, and our amazing deals. With 40-plus locations, get same-day install. For tires, it's Dobbs.
For deals you can use, click on GoToDobbs.com now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here's the lowdown on lowering bad cholesterol from Leqvio. Lowering bad cholesterol is hard, but you could do hard. You live through 5 fad diets, 11 sleep training nights, 9 mediocre middle school recitals, 1 heart attack. And with Leqvio, you can lower your bad cholesterol and keep it low with 2 doses a year after 2 starter doses. Prescription Leqvio and glycerin is given by a doctor for people with known heart disease on a statin with diet who need more help lowering bad cholesterol. Common side effects are injection site reaction, joint pain, urinary tract infection, diarrhea, chest cold, pain in legs or arms, and shortness of breath. Results may vary. Learn more at Leqvio.com. Or call 1-833-537-8462. Ask your doctor about Leqvio. That's L-E-Q-V-I-O. Lower, longer, Leqvio.
This episode is brought to you by Zelle. Whenever you're sending money through an app or online, it's important to do it safely. Here are a few helpful tips. First, always make sure you know and trust the person you're sending money to. Second, confirm you have entered their contact details correctly. And finally, if you don't trust the person or your recipient is rushing you to send money right away, think twice before sending money through an app or online.
508 in the Fast Lane. Time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Scott Manziara, Brad Thompson, Chris Ranji, Randy Carricker. And take it or leave it, coming up in a moment, send in your text to the Home Loan Expert text line at 65780. Before we get to Teoli, Dante DiVincenzo, the most outstanding player of the Final Four, has celebrity status now, and that led to some people on social media looking up his account, and what they found was less than flattering. In some of his 17,000 tweets, he had some inappropriate tweets using derogatory terms. So that tells us we all need to be careful with what we tweet.
No, it tells us that we all want to crumble anything good. Any good day that somebody's having, let's see if we can dig up the past really fast and ruin this moment for a young kid. Let's see if we can do that.
I don't even know if it's that. I think when you become an instant celebrity, people are like, all right, let's see what this guy's all about.
Let's dig 17,000 tweets in and find out who he is.
Yeah.
People are terrible.
Happens all the time,
people,
man. Just don't be dumb on Twitter. It's that simple.
It was
pretty bad.
It was rap lyrics, was it not?
No, one of them was.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Actually, some of it was just kind of funny.
I can't repeat any of it. Remember this, everyone. Blowing out someone else's candle does not make yours burn brighter.
Not a sure hell lot of fun.
Take it or leave it. With Tommy Pham's comments to Sports Illustrated in the article today at SI.com, if the Cardinals ever contemplated giving him a mega contract, those plans have gone out the window now.
I'll leave it. I think if they know what Tommy Pham is, and they know what Tommy Pham is thinking. So seeing it in print probably doesn't change anything for them. So if, in fact, they had those plans, I don't think that this would change anything.
No, it's all about how he produces. If he's good and he's good for the next couple of years when it's time for that, then I think they'll give him an offer. I don't think they're worried all that much about what happened today, though they would probably prefer that he doesn't talk like that.
That is pretty funny, yeah, when he called up and said, hey, I'm the best MF-er here.
So, it's nice to have that sort of confidence.
Yeah.
Be fun. Randy, you've done that here at ESPN, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I went to John Kioski's office that one time when I was in contract negotiations. Yeah. I said, hey, I'm the best MF-er here. Pay me.
That's right.
Right.
So give me that parking spot, too.
Got a parking spot out of it.
Yeah, you did,
buddy. What are you getting mad at Pham then for? You did the same damn thing.
That's how Randy rolls.
Yep.
No question about it.
He's our Tommy Pham.
That's right.
He's good and he knows it. All right, take it or leave it. The Giants, San Francisco Giants, will score a run this year that doesn't come on a Joe Panic home run.
Dude, the Giants the Giants are 36 innings in. They've scored three runs. Every single one of them has been a Joe Panic home run so far. I was hoping the Giants would get things going a little bit this year. And it's early, right? Small sample size. But you got a couple of big injuries early on in your pitching staff, and you can't score any runs that don't come off of Joe Panic homers. It's a problem.
I think I'm going to play the numbers on this one, and I'll take it at some point.
But I believe Evan Longoria has gone hitless so far. I think he's a big donut.
Still early.
New check.
Very early in the season.
Yeah, he's 0-0-0.
Villanova, once again, is the NCAA champion in college basketball, and Jay Wright has now led the team within the couple of years, within the span of 3 years, to two titles. Take it or leave it, even though a lot of NBA teams are going to come calling, Jay Wright will stay at Villanova for the next five seasons, at least.
I'm going to take that.
I'm going to take it as well. When you got a good gig, hang on.
He's got, I mean, you've got essentially what, like, Nick Saban's got at Alabama. He can be there and make great money, as good as any other coach, better than some NFL coaches for the rest of his life. And you'll never lose that job. I think that Jay Wright could have this job for life and continue to get paid a ton of money. So I'm going to take it.
Scotty, what do you got for us?
All right, guys. From the 314, take it or leave it, the Rams made a dumb trade by trading for Brandon Cooks.
I'm not a big fan. They traded the 23rd pick in the draft today for Brandon Cooks and a fourth rounder. And I believe Brandon Cooks is a free agent after this year. So for 1 year, Brandon Cooks, I don't think that that's a great move.
I don't either.
They're totally win now.
They are, and I guess when you look at the landscape over there, anything could happen. You're catching the Seahawks while they're down right now, and you know that the 49ers are going to be a heck to handle here in the future, so maybe you are trying to make a run at it currently. But sacrificing a few first-rounder for Cooks to me isn't worth it. Not for a rental,
right.
if in fact that's the case.
Like we were talking about this off the air, that pretty much eliminates the Beckham possibility,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we were getting a lot of text message response to Scotty Doesn't Know. And our best text in regard to the segment was, Scotty doesn't vote, right?
That's
poor
really
Scott.
Good.
Poor
that
Scott.
Really good. Scott seemed happy, though. You were happy with
happy.
It, with the feedback that people gave you, right, Scotty?
Yeah, but to respond to that guy that asked me if I vote, I do. So,
did you vote today?
No.
I did.
I did not vote today. I was here.
I didn't even know what it was vote. I thought I was going to vote because I've seen 5 million commercials for the St. Louis County Executive. Thought I was going to vote in a primary or something. No, I just voted for the Parkway School Board. That was it. Two people.
Well, voting is voting, Randy.
I did vote for them, yeah.
Did you get a sticker?
I did. I don't have it now. I was wearing it on my face earlier.
You've done your civic duty.
Yeah. I have. Participated in the process.
You should get a tattoo every time you vote.
No, I don't think so.
Be a lot of tattoos.
Right?
It would.
I voted.
Street cred.
400 times on your arm.
From the 618, the perfect sports weekend for this week is the Blues making the playoffs and Tigers winning the Masters.
I mean, I don't know if it's perfect, but it's perfect for this weekend. I'll take it.
Can I get a little Cardinal victory?
Yes,
in there?
Please.
Cardinal
this is what I'm
win
thinking.
Too, right?
Yeah, let's get some great Cardinal baseball Saturday and Sunday, right? Friday's an off day, is it not?
It is.
Yeah.
Because the weather's going to be stellar on Thursday.
Should be nice, right?
We will be at Ballpark Village.
Come visit us.
We're going to be out on the stage outside Ballpark Village, so come by and say hi. Do we play Arizona?
We do.
That's what I thought.
And one more from the 636, take it or leave it, Mo doesn't like negative opinions in the media.
I'll take that.
I'll take it. GM. Insert any GM's name instead of Mo's, and I'll still take it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'll take just about...
Oh, I'm sorry, president of baseball operations. I didn't mean to sell him short right there.
Pretty much anybody doesn't like negative opinions.
Hey, we like getting ripped here.
Do we?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to be honest, I don't. I mean, I don't love it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't care.
Thank you, Scotty.
You're welcome.
And thanks for your text to the Home Loan Expert text line 65780. Jack Flaherty starts for the Cardinals tonight. Is this Cardinal rotation deeper than we might think it is? We'll discuss that next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. That is one of our Cardinal insiders, Mark Saxon of The Athletic on 101 ESPN. And one of the most exciting things for me about the Cardinals is the depth of young starting pitching. And it's not necessarily for the 2018 season. But when you look at 2019 and beyond, and you look at the young pitchers that they have, even if half of them work out to be really, really good, you've got a chance to have a good rotation for a long time. And, Ranj, I know that throughout the offseason, you thought that the Cardinals should sign a veteran pitcher to a long-term contract. I have to believe their thought process was, why should we do that when we have all these young kids on the way? People like Weaver and Flaherty, like Mark Saxon just talked about, in addition to Austin Gomber and Dakota Hudson and Junior Fernandez, and heck, they still have Michael Wacha, who's a young man around. They've got a lot of young pitchers.
I do not question the ability of all the pitchers that they have in-house. I think there's good potential, just like Saxon said, for all of them to be really quite good. My only concern has been, and it still is, the workload. Because all these guys are not going to be able to throw a ton of innings. And I understand that there's this idea that teams are moving away from starters going really deep into games and they're going to the bullpen earlier, but I'm not sure that's really sustainable unless you're continually churning out different relievers throughout the year who don't have big workloads. Because look at what's happening with the Phillies right now and how many relievers they've used.
21.
That's going to be a problem.
How many innings,
for
Randy?
28.
That's really bad.
That's a lot. And I promise you, and you guys know this too, once you get a couple of months in, stuff like that has an effect on later in the season. You can't just keep wearing out the bullpen early in the year. You have to have starters go fairly deep. So my only concern, and it still remains, I do not have any question about what these pitchers can be. We know what Wacha is for the most part, but why can't I not think right? Flaherty, what Flaherty can be, what Luke Weaver can be. Those guys can be really good. It's just a matter of how much can they actually work this year and get you to your end goal of having your starters take a great bulk of the work so you're not blowing out the bullpen early on. Again, unless the Cardinals are able to manipulate that DL and keep cycling in. And Randy, you came up with the number 12. You think there are about 12 guys, and I think that's right. In the Cardinals system right now, they can all be viable relievers throughout the year, but the point is, you have to keep cycling them through so they don't get overworked.
And we should note, BT, you guys had this on the pregame show the other day, that with the move of Alex Reyes to the 60-day DL, he will be prepared now as a starter. He doesn't have a future as a reliever with the Cardinals. They're going to send him to the 30-day rehab, and he's going to be groomed as a starter without making that stop in the bullpen.
Yeah, so that adds even more depth there. You take the question marks off of it, and you know what he's going to do. If somebody asked me right now, Brad, why do you feel confident in the Cardinals in the future, like next couple of years? This is exactly where I point. I point to their rotation and the arms that they have on the horizon, the ones that are already here. But it's funny, and this is why it's an interesting thing to talk about, because if somebody asked me what is the one thing that's holding you back about being overly confident about this year, I point to that same rotation.
Same route,
right? Yeah. So I just keep looking at it this year, and Randy, you've made the point, I don't think you're incorrect, that the Cardinals are looking towards 2019 is the year. Like, whatever happens this year, it's great, we're building, we're giving guys a lot of opportunities, but they didn't go out there and acquire that one arm. I just keep wondering, who pitches game two for you in a series? Game one, you're assuming you're going to hand the ball to Carlos Martinez. I don't know who it's going to be game two. Maybe it is Weaver. Maybe he emerges. Maybe Michael Wacha. Maybe Adam Wainwright comes off the DL and he's fantastic. But that's a lot of maybes. There are teams out there that don't have maybes going in this year that are aspiring to win a championship. But I would have loved to see the Cardinals be able to pull off a deal, obviously, like the Twins did. Lance Lynn was a guy I was beating the drum for the entire offseason. I feel like having 200 innings there that you know you're going to get, that is a beautiful thing to have. And it's hard when you don't know in this rotation who's going to eat up the innings for you. It's great to have a lot of depth, but I don't think you want to be throwing around all those innings to multiple people throughout the year. It's a tough way to win.
And I want to note here that the prospects the Cardinals got for Breivik, Valera, and Josh Lucas are better prospects than what the Twins gave up to get Jake Odorizzi.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that the Cardinals probably... It could have been, I don't want to say ever that it would have been easy for them to make a particular acquisition, but they were in good position to be able to do
this. This was the offseason.
This was absolutely
the
offseason.
Something fishy about the Odorizzi deal, by the way.
There is.
Yeah, that's pretty odd, isn't it? So, I don't know. I think, again, in terms of ability, the Cardinals are in good shape, and they're in great future shape when it comes to how many innings these guys can pitch, but it's about the workload now, because there is such a thing as stretching out starters so they're able to go 180 innings or whatever this season. You think Luke Weaver is going to be able to do that? He threw 137 last year.
20%, right? That's the that's what you go for, is right? A 20% increase. So 26 innings, 137, 143, 50.
He might be able to get
165 maybe.
Yeah, and you want him to be able to do better than that. Jack Flaherty's not going to be able to do that either. And that's really what the issue is. I mean, you'd like to be able, in an ideal situation, you've got the same five starters all year. Now, I understand injuries happen, so that's a luxury, and no team really ever has that. The Cardinals had that luxury for most of first half of last year, right? I think it was Marco Gonzalez was the only guy who got a start that wasn't one of the regular five starters, and he only got one, and that was in the first half of the season. Cards won't have that luxury this year, and I don't really like the idea of continuing to cycle out starters and bring in somebody else, okay, and you're going to start for a while, and then somebody else will take your spot. That, to me, is the only issue. I do not have any doubt about the ability of these guys. It's about how much they can work.
I think starting pitching, and when we look at innings and starts, is going to look completely different in 5 years from now than it did 5 years ago. I think they're really headed to a dramatic change in the way they're used.
I believe it will, and I believe in 10 years it'll look a lot more like it did a couple of years ago. I feel like this is going to end up going back to where it was. Yeah. Baseball does a lot of
cyclical.
That. Yeah, because I think, and we talked about this yesterday, it's a lot about the ideal. It makes sense that starters, once they get through the third time in the order, they're not going to be as effective. We know the numbers bear that out. The problem is the rosters aren't big enough, and there aren't enough good relievers for everybody in baseball to do this. You can't keep going to the bullpen in the fourth inning every single day and say, well, all right, we got them through two times in the order. Now we're going to bring somebody else in. That guy's going to pitch three innings, and then another guy's going to come in and pitch two innings after that. You can't really live like that all season long. So you might have teams that want to do it, but I don't think you can be effective doing that all the time. It's going to be a very difficult thing to do. Eventually, starters are going to have to go back to taking seven innings or more every day.
By the way, for me, the Phillies have become must-see TV.
Just to see what happens?
Yep. Wow.
Yeah, like, when's he going to get a starter?
Right.
The starters cruise through the first time around.
Yeah.
He's got 20 pitches. Get him out of there.
Right.
We got to save him.
That's what I'm thinking.
There just aren't enough good relievers. No. The rosters would have to be what? Like 28, 30 men?
At least.
To do it this way?
Yeah. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, what questions do you have for us? You can send them into the Home Loan Expert text line, 65780. The Sports Six Pack coming your way on 101 ESPN. Big Sins is out today. He'll be back tomorrow. Scott Manziara in to provide your questions for us via the Lufia's Kia Celebrity Line, 65780. Scotty, what do you got for us?
From the 636, how many games do the Blues need to win to make the playoffs?
Two, right?
Two.
The one against the Blackhawks, but the second one has to be against Colorado.
Right, exactly.
That game's going to be fun to watch.
Going to be fun.
Better tune in. They better show up, too. That was a pretty bad second period last night.
Yeah, not great.
Guys, I don't think I told you, and I did tell you that my son took in his first ever Blues game, and he had a blast. But I did, like, happily as a father, I let him embarrass our family by doing the power play dance. He had so much fun. He enjoyed it.
See?
And they got all the four shots at heart.
Yeah. Now, did he boo it all during the first 7 minutes of the second period?
Nope, no booing at all. No booing. We don't boo in the Thompson household.
That's nice of you.
We know how bad it hurts. You know?
Really?
we just know.
Have you changed your mind on the power play dance now because your son liked it?
He loved it. Yeah. Here's what I think about the power play dance. After seeing my son do it, and he made some little friends that were sitting in the same area. If the spirit moves you, like if being there moves you and you do it, then great. Good for you. But it's still not great. It was better with the Ric Flair stuff.
Woo!
That's better.
One thing that I wish...
Randy's doing it currently, just so you guys know. Give you a little picture.
I wish Dylan would have been able to witness a fight.
Me too. When
my kids both bought in, it was because of fights.
Randy, my first ever Blues game, I think it was in 05, there were like four fights in the game. It was epic, and I'm like, I'm hooked. Like, this is the coolest thing ever, and I want to see this all the time. We didn't get a chance to see that, really.
Dexter Fowler's wife tweeted today.
I saw that. Their passion, right?
Yeah, why didn't I discover hockey much earlier? There's so much violence and passion.
It's beautiful.
Hey, when are the Blues going to discover how to score on a power play?
Yeah.
Is that going to happen?
Wait until next year.
By the way,
they should plug it in more.
It's not working. That's the thing about the power play.
Players haven't bought into it.
It's not working. If they do make it into the playoffs, that's going to be a huge reason they lose. Because with a team that isn't able to score 5-on-5, you got to take advantage of those.
Yeah.
And well, they had a 4-minute straight power play last night. Nothing.
Oh, come on, Ron. Just give them a break.
They got a couple shots.
Nothing. Well, shots are cool, but goals are better.
From the 314, who will lead the Cardinals in home runs this year?
Marcel.
Ozuna. He will have 35.
Paul DeJong.
You got DeJong, huh?
100.
Oh, well, he's on 100. He's on a good pace. Yachty is on a pretty impressive pace as well. I'm still going to go with Marcel Ozuna. I feel really good about that.
I don't think Paul DeJong's going to hit 100.
Darn it.
He might get like 85 if we're going to be realistic
about
it.
Then I'll go with Ozuna.
All right, so let's just say that you can fast forward in the season.
You can fast forward in the season.
To the final game of the season, to be exact, how much different do you think the lineup will look?
Depends on injuries.
I don't think it'll look very different at all.
Not if they're healthy.
Yeah, I think this is what it is. The only thing that might move around is the same thing we've seen move around. Who's playing third base for you?
Right.
Maybe like Jerko. I don't see that huge trade necessarily down. I don't see Manny Machado or Donaldson at the end of the year here currently with the depth that you have. I don't think it looks much different at all.
From the 636, do you see a realistic scenario where the Cardinals re-sign Adam Wainwright after this season?
I do not.
I don't either. I mean, unless he's just awesome and you got to keep him around. You know, having him there, the presence of Adam Wainwright benefits everybody. But he's got to be pitching well, too. So if he is, we just got done talking about the depth in this rotation, all the young arms that they have and don't have spots for all of them. It would be hard to find, hard to push off another one of those guys for another year or so. But if Adam is pitching great, I don't think they would hesitate to do so. But it's hard to imagine him pushing everybody out.
They got too many young arms they like. I don't see it happening. I don't even see them acquiring anybody during the offseason, like a Chris Archer type.
No.
Like that's not going to happen either.
I really believe that the reason that people like Mike Leake and Lance Lynn aren't here is because the Cardinals are looking down the road. They are looking on such a macro level. They're looking at 3, 4, 5 years down the road. We want them to win in 2018, which is reasonable. But they aren't looking at 2018 now. They're looking at 19, 20, 21. And that's the reason that I think, regardless of what Waino does, I'd love to see him back because he's such a fabulous leader and such a great guy for the community and the franchise. But think about what they have right now. If you are the Cardinals and you're looking at Martinez, Waka, Weaver, you've got Michaelis under contract next year. Plus, you're going to have Flaherty or Reyes, and Dakota Hudson is on the way, and Gomber isn't far behind. That's eight guys right there without Adam Wainwright in the mix.
From the 314, what do the Blues do with Jake Allen and Carter Hutton in the offseason? Does Husso get a shot at the team next year?
Not
Carter
as a
Hutton
starter.
Carter Hutton likely walks, right?
I would think so, because they do want to give Husso an opportunity.
So that's it, right? Yeah. It's Jake Allen's the guy, and Husso's the backup.
Yeah, I would think so.
You feel good about that? Like,
great.
Well, I felt great about it when they gave Jake Allen the contract. I have felt very good about it in spurts. But you want to feel like really confident in your goalie. You want to know night in, night out what you're going to get. Everybody has clunkers, but you can't have a guy disappear for periods of time.
And they're kind of boxed in. Gunnarsson had surgery today. He's going to be reevaluated in 6 months. Bouwmeester in the same boat. So you're talking about the end of training camp next year where you're going to have Bouwmeester's hip and Gunnarsson's knee reevaluated. That's $8.3 million of your cap that's tied up in two guys that you don't know about for the beginning of next season.
And the problem for Allen, going back to him, is how are you going to find a better replacement?
Yeah.
I mean, good luck doing it. So the thing that would make me feel better is if they find another goal scorer. Find a goal scorer, find a playmaker, somebody forward. They need maybe two, actually. And then I will feel better about their team. But I'm pretty much just going into next year thinking Jake Allen's going to have like 3 really great months, and he's probably going to bookend a month or two in the middle that don't look good.
Yeah, December, January, no.
Yeah. Just write them off.
So that's Huso time.
From the 314, is Mike Matheny going to wear out Jordan Hicks like he did Maness and Segrist?
No.
Not if Mike Maddux steps in.
Well, Maddux and the general manager and the president of baseball operations.
There will be a plan if there's not already a plan in place for how you handle Jordan Hicks.
You would have preferred to not see him in a four-run game yesterday. You got Mike Myers down there.
Right.
I don't know why they felt the need to get Jordan Hicks.
Had to get back to 500, Randy.
Yeah.
Had to get back to 500.
That's it. In the fourth game of the season.
They got there. That was good.
I hope they don't.
No, so remember with Jordan Hicks, even though his stuff profiles as a reliever, he's had very little time in his career being a reliever, a little bit in the postseason. I think out of his 30-something games in the minor leagues, all but two of them have been starts, something like that. So he's used to a routine. He's used to pitching every 5 days. He's used to all the buildup that goes in between. He's not used to pitching back-to-back days. He's not used to pitching three out of four. So you have to be really smart with him. You have to trust your eyes. You have to look at the numbers. You have to look at the velo. You have to look at everything with a guy like him. And you got to make sure, if you think you're a playoff team and Jordan Hicks at this point is going to be a big part of the success that you have, where whatever inning he ends up pitching in, you know it's going to be big. His impact is going to be felt. You need that guy to be good in August, September, and hopefully October.
And part of doing that is making sure you preserve him and not blow him out earlier in the year. So you've got to utilize all your relievers. And sometimes, especially early on in April, you've got to figure out what some of these guys are capable of doing. So if that means throwing Mike Myers into a situation you would never have thought he'd be pitching in last year, then do it. See if he can get the job done.
Remember, too, before the story of Jordan Hicks, filling in for Adam Wainwright that last game, being epic, and then making the team, Mike Myers was the talk.
Right?
He was great. He almost forgot about the unbelievable spring and the must-see TV that Mike Myers was because of what Jordan Hicks did. Mike Myers is going to get thrown into the mix also.
Thank you, Scotty.
You got it.
And thanks for your text to the Home Loan Expert text line 65780. The Cardinals do pitch Jack Flaherty tonight. They also have a roster change, and we'll have the lineup for you as the Cardinals get ready to take on the Brewers again tonight at Miller Park. Next on 101 ESPN. The Cardinals and Brewers play the second game of a three-game series tonight at Miller Park in Milwaukee, and the Cardinals are going to pitch Jack Flaherty, who did not have a great start to his major league career last season. As a matter of fact, he pitched in six games, five starts, and he was 0-2 with a high ERA of 6.33. He does have tremendous stuff. Last year, he walked 10 and struck out 20 in his 21 and a third innings of work. But he did have a magnificent spring, and there's good reason for Cardinals fans to think that Flaherty can do some good things this year.
Oh, for sure there is. And like you said, he had the great spring. We've seen this stuff. And he's got a newfound confidence. You can just see it. He looked different in spring training this year. He's got the poise. He's got the wipeout slider. He's got the high-octane fastball. And he's got the makeup that you want out of a starter. And we know that he was slated for AAA. But you also knew whether the injury was going to happen to Adam Wainwright right at the end of spring, or if something happened to somebody else, he was likely the first guy that was going to get the call. He did everything that you could want to do. Michael Gersh, the GM, talked about the fact that it was kind of a hard conversation to have with him because you did everything. You did everything that we wanted you to do to make this club, but there wasn't room. Well, there's room now, and there's opportunity. So whether Adam Wainwright misses one turn in the rotation or two turns, three turns, whatever it ends up being, this is another opportunity for him to make a mark, to make it where if there's something else, if there's a need, whether it be a rainout, a doubleheader, somebody gets hurt, whatever it is, make them call you. Make you, you know, be the name that comes to the top of the list. And I don't think that's going to be too hard for Flaherty to do. His stuff is that good.
I think you said it earlier, force their hand. If you pitch well enough, you're going to get your opportunity. And you don't take much out of 21 big league innings that he had last season. His strikeouts are going to be better than what he did then. His walks are going to go down because he's never, I think last year he was a walk ratio or a walks per nine innings, something like four or four and a half or something to that effect. He's not going to be like that. Dude's going to pump strikes, and he's going to get a lot of outs. And I'm hoping that he's able to this season, and this is a big year for him, whether or not he's up in the big leagues or whether or not he's in Memphis, stretching him out so he's able to throw a bunch of innings per season. But what we've seen from him and what we saw during spring, that's just the beginning. That dude's going to be something, I think, really special.
30-year-old right-hander Chase Anderson will go for Milwaukee. Last year, he was ravaged by injury. By the way, it's shocking to me that he's already 30 years old. But in the games that he did pitched to a 2.74 ERA, and all of his peripheral numbers were really, really good. Only allowed 113 hits and 141 and a third. He went 12-4 with that 2.74 earned run average and struck out a bunch of guys. 133 strikeouts and 41 walks in those 141 and a third.
Yeah, Chase Anderson has been a solid performer throughout his career. And you're right, it is amazing how quick it snuck up. He didn't make his debut till he was 26 years old. So kind of a late bloomer was Chase Anderson. But he's solid. He's good. And he's going to have to be very good for the Brewers this year. If they have those postseason dreams, which you know they do with the addition of Lorenzo Cain and with the pickup of Christian Yelich, then he's going to have to be good. This rotation's going to have to overperform. This is a team as a whole in its entirety yeah. That overperformed last year, and Chase Anderson was a big part of that.
Yeah, he's legit. If there's one starter on that team, and you're right, Randy, I didn't think he was 30 years old either. I was kind of thinking like 28 for
That's
some
what
reason.
I was thinking, yeah.
But, I mean, he's a legitimate number one. I really like him a lot. So for them, for this season, as BT said, he's going to have to be really good. Otherwise, they're going to have a longer year than you think, or they're going to have to score a ton of runs to make up what the rotation is.
The Cardinals will have the same lineup: Fowler, Pham, Carpenter, Ozuna, Martinez, Molina, DeJong, Wonger, and Flaherty. Today, Jed Jerko placed on the 10-day DL with a hamstring injury, and Harrison Bader has been recalled from Memphis, so he'll be available on the Cardinal bench tonight. This Brewers team, and we made a lot of their signing of Cain and Yelich, but we knew that they would have to sit Domingo Santana a lot, and they have. The bottom four in their lineup, not great. Their top five is stellar, with Cain, Yelich, Braun, Shaw, and Thames. But then after that, it's Pena, VR, Arcia, and Chase Anderson. BT, you look at it from a pitcher's standpoint. Once you get past Thames, how, even though Pena hit a home run yesterday, how much do those four scare you?
They're pitchable, at least. VR is a guy you don't want on base because you know he wreaks havoc when he's out there, and he can steal a bag on you left and right. He can score from basically anywhere out there, so you don't want him on, but you can get to those guys. And that's the beauty of the Cardinals lineup. When I look at it, just flipping the table here, you don't see outs, right? Like you see a lineup that is very, very deep. You basically see an American League lineup where you can get hurt all the way 1 through 8. And by the way,
and
Miles Michaelis
is pitching.
Yeah, exactly. 2-run bomb. Once again, StatCast, 106 miles an hour off the bat, 29-degree launch, and 26-degree launch angle on that one.
Pitcher should always hit.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Brewers are good. They're a very good ball club. They're solid. A lot of people made the case that the Cardinals didn't do enough in the offseason to address all their needs. Same thing is happening with Brewers fans. They don't believe that they did enough to address all the needs, mainly in that rotation. But it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle all year long. The Cardinals have a chance to be neck and neck with them throughout the year. With the Cubs also, you know, who knows what's going to happen in this division. But all these series mean a lot. I'm excited to see the next couple ones. I'm excited for Flaherty tonight.
And for both these teams, like pretty much it is for most other teams, they're just going to have to stay healthy. That's going to be a big key to what the Cardinals and Brewers both do, because they're not, I think the Cardinals have quite a bit of depth when it comes to their relief, but otherwise, and I guess in some respect they're starting pitching too, but you do have a lot of guys that probably won't be able to throw a ton of innings this year. But as far as depth elsewhere goes, they're going to have to stay healthy. The Cardinals lineup is going to have to stay relatively healthy all year long, and the Brewers are in the same situation, especially in their rotation.
You mentioned, Randy, the injury to Jed Jerko and Harrison Bader being the guy now that gets called up. I'll be interested to see how exactly they deploy him, because a bat off the bench oftentimes is a veteran guy who, you know, he's just used to doing that. And
Jed, you don't
Jerko,
want him sitting much.
Yeah, Jed Jerko, even though the plan was for him to start quite a bit over at third base, even if he wasn't, I believe that Mike Matheny knew that if he called for him at any time during the game, he'd be ready. He'd right. have a great approach. With Harrison Bader, I'm not sure exactly what that approach looks like coming off the bench. It's a little bit more difficult. He's a bit more of a free swinger than a guy like Jed Jerko is. So I'm interested to see how he throws him out there. Does he get a spot start every once in a while if somebody, not even if somebody's struggling, just to give give somebody a day off, maybe on a day game or something like that. Harrison Bader, if it weren't for Jairo Munoz, would have been on this team. And maybe it would have been a revolving door, a lot like we talk about with the relievers, that I-55 corridor. Same thing could be said for that last, that fifth outfielder type job. But Harrison Bader deserved to be on this club as well, and I'm kind of excited for him wherever that opportunity lies, whether it be a pinch hit tonight or a start later on in the weekend or something. I want to see what he does.
And so we have, by the way, settled on Jairo.
Yeah, it's definitely Jairo.
Yeah. Jairo.
Yeah.
J-Y-E-R-O-W would be the phonetic. Jairo. Yeah.
Just like having a Greek pita bread.
Those things are delicious.
Well, that's a gyro.
Oh, well, that doesn't help me at all.
Right.
Yeah, let's not throw a third one in.
No.
A gyro?
It is a gyro.
Gyro.
I always call it a gyro, too.
Darn.
Shut up and take my money and give me that thing with the bread and the meat.
So the Cardinals and the Brewers tonight. I also want to note that the Cubs, and I know that players have virtually no hitters, no respect for the strikeout now. Cubs have struck out a major league record 58 times in their first five games, and they are 1-for-14 with a runner at third and less than two out in five games.
You know what that means?
They're striking out a lot and not scoring runs when they should.
Yeah, their season's over.
Something tells me they're going to be okay.
I think they are. But I would much rather have my guy get a bat on the ball. I know players say, oh, an out is an out is an out. Not when you have a runner at third with less than two out.
Put pressure on the defense in that situation. Anything, a ground ball, a squibber. You could hit a rock. Maybe a rally squirrel runs out. Like none of those things happen on a strikeout.
But it depends
on the ball in play.
Yeah, it really depends on what kind of hitter you are, though. I mean, if you're a power guy, I don't care if you're striking out a lot because you're going to hit me 40 bombs.
With a runner on third, then less than two outs, I would like you to be able to change your approach with two strikes and put something in play.
What if he hits a home run, though?
Joe DiMaggio hit a lot of home runs, and he hit more home runs than he struck out.
Who's that?
Joe DiMaggio.
Well, baseball's different now.
It doesn't have to be, right? Well, why can't you still be a good hitter and not strike out a lot?
Maybe the breaking balls weren't as good then as they are now.
That's legit, by the way.
He'd have to deal with a cutter.
And 100 miles an hour.
Well, relatively speaking, it's like 100 miles an hour.
relatively speaking.
So if you throw 80, it's a relative 100.
Bob Feller. I mean, were cars...
They clocked in with a motorcycle, didn't they?
Yeah.
Bob Feller?
Yeah, they did. And he was throwing like 98, something like that.
Well, that's a relative 100.
Yeah.
try this. When you go to the store, give them a 50 and say, I need change, and they give you, 45. No, this is 100.
Relatively.
It's a relative 100. So I require $85 back.
I think a major leaguer should be able to get his bat on the ball. That's all I'm saying.
Game's different, Randy.
I know it is.
More power. More power to him.
More power and less fundamental quality baseball. Cubs lost a 17-inning game and yesterday lost 1-0 because they couldn't get runners home from third with less than two out.
Those home runs are fun, though, aren't they?
Yeah, when you hit them.
Yeah.
You don't hit many when you lose 1-0, apparently.
Nah, that sucks.
Yeah.
For them.
It's a Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, the Houston Astros stole one of the Cardinals' traditions. We'll tell you which one next before, with all due respect, here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to 101 ESPN. Find more at 101sports.com.
Here's the lowdown on lowering bad cholesterol from Leqvio. Lowering bad cholesterol is hard, but you could do hard. You live through 5 fad diets, 11 sleep training nights, 9 mediocre middle school recitals, 1 heart attack. And with Leqvio, you can lower your bad cholesterol and keep it low with 2 doses a year after 2 starter doses. Prescription Leqvio and glycerin is given by a doctor for people with known heart disease on a statin with diet who need more help lowering bad cholesterol. Common side effects are injection site reaction, joint pain, urinary tract infection, diarrhea, chest cold, pain in legs or arms, and shortness of breath. Results may vary. Learn more at Leqvio.com or call 1-833-537-8462. Ask your doctor about Leqvio. That's Leqvio. Lower, longer, Leqvio.
This episode is brought to you by Zelle. Whenever you're sending money through an app or online, it's important to do it safely. Here are a few helpful tips. First, always make sure you know and trust the person you are sending money to. Second, confirm you have entered their contact details correctly. And finally, if you don't trust the person or your recipient is rushing you to send money right away, think twice before sending money through an app or online.